Last week, more than 300 news publications across the country joined together to defend the role of the free press and denounce the president's ongoing attacks on the news media in coordinated editorials that ran last Thursday. Here in Idaho, some newspapers joined in, some did not. Joining me to talk more about the role of the media is Jasper LaCalzi, political economy professor at the College of Idaho, and Seth Ashley, associate professor of communication at Boise State University. He is also the faculty advisor for the student newspaper, The Arbiter. Welcome to the program.
Thanks.
All right. So quick question. All presidents have squabbles with the media. What makes this different than other times? And I know that may be a basic question, but we see back and forth all of the time with presidents and the media.
I don't know if it is that much different, other than there's more media than we've seen in the past. But president fighting against the media forever. John Adams threw publishers in jail, as Lincoln did also. I think what's changed in the 20th century, especially, is we now have this idea of an independent media. Because you go back to the 19th century, and newspapers were owned by the political parties, so there was no independent media. Now we have this idea that the media is supposed to be unbiased and such, and I think some of the presidents don't necessarily like that.
It's
a 20th century invention, the way that we understand journalism today. And so that has changed things from that history, I think.
So explain that idea of 20th century journalism than what we saw in the past.
Well, the whole idea of objectivity and neutrality really didn't exist until you had advertising funding the press in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And only then did journalism really even become a profession. And people wanted to elevate it to, you know, a status that wasn't just the yellow sensational stuff of the past. And so eventually we got to see more of what we think of as journalism today.
And it seems to me that, I mean, we can go back in history and talk about, you know, every president that has had some issue with the media at some point. When we have a president, though, saying, you know, enemy of the people, and he's very public about this. And it seems that in the past, these issues were behind closed doors with media. And now those doors have just been, you know, wide, you know, opened up. Is that what we're seeing, Jasper?
Well, I think some of it is it's a political strategy also. I mean, I think most presidents either look at either try to bring the media close to them and we're all buddies and all this, or they use them as a foil. And that's what Trump is doing. It's us against them. They're part of them. And I think that helps him with his base. So I don't think he hates media any more than anyone else, but he's using them for his own political advantage.
Well, and look, I've been in the media for a long time. And the media gets blamed for a lot of it is an easy target to blame the media for their bias.
Yes, and the thing is the media, Seth, it's always been biased. It has to be biased. There has to be some bias in there. And presidents see this bias. If they say anything against the president, then they're biased. If they support him, then they're independent.
But then other people say they're biased, right?
And bias is often in the eye of the beholder. I mean, that's the first thing, is the way that we perceive it is really dictates, you know, whether we think it's biased, right, and in what direction. But you know, it's just. You know, journalists are mostly informed by routines and conventions and, you know, the way that they're used to doing things, professional norms. And that has as much influence on what they do as anything. And so obviously some outlets have an explicit partisan agenda, but most do not. Most journalists are diligent fact gatherers trying to put mundane details into some sort of comprehensive narrative.
But it's all about clicks and eyeballs, too. So, I mean, they... other than you guys here on public radio.
President,
I mean,
company excluded.
You have to get advertisers, you have to get ratings and such. So some of what the media is trying to do, hey, pick a fight with Trump, and Trump says, look at the New York Times, CNN, their ratings are up. Trump helps them.
Oh, the New York Times has more subscriptions than they've had in years.
Yeah, so I think they don't mind it that really that much,
right.
At least at the bottom line.
I don't want to downplay those commercial influences. I mean, that's obviously a huge thing that influences the way those routines and norms are set up
right.
in the first place.
I'm speaking with College of Idaho Professor of Political Economy Jasper Lacalzi and Boise State Associate Professor of Communications Seth Ashley. We're talking about the relationship that the media plays with the public, with government officials, and let's talk about that because, you know, media, you have to have relationships in order to even, Seth, as you talked about, get the mundane facts, to get that information, to be able to tell a comprehensive story. You have to have relationships. And that means with, you know, the person down the street, but also with public officials and with government officials. So when we see all of this playing out the way we're seeing this playing out, and it's so public, they all still have a relationship with this president, like it mm-hmm. or not.
Yeah, and I think how do you keep that relationship up? Because that's you have to talk to them. That's where you get your information from. And that's why I wanted to plug this book. You know, I always
you like to tell people what to read.
It's a book called Republic of Spin: An Inside History of the American Presidency by David Greenberg, and it's basically history since Teddy Roosevelt on of the president's relationship and how they've cultivated them. So you have Franklin Roosevelt used to have press conferences where they were around his desk and they were all off the record. And, you know, and they'd have drinks.
Of course.
Smoking his cigar and whatever. And it would have just he had that type of relationship. Others have more confrontational, Woodrow Wilson, much more confrontational with him. So it's up to the president, really, I think, more than the media are allowed to what kind of relationship they want to have.
And Seth, from your perspective, being the faculty advisor for a college newspaper, how do you talk about this with your students who are going out there, they're fresh-faced, they want to be these journalists, change the world, and then, you know, we're in an environment right now where, I mean, the media's always been blamed for stuff, as I said earlier, but we're in a time now where you have the president of the United States saying, you know, you're the enemy of the people.
Yeah. Well, first of all, our numbers are up. I mean, and I've got more students than ever who want to work for the student news outlet, which is great. And I think there is a little bit of a Trump bump. It's kind of like the Watergate effect that explains part of that.
So it's helping journalism.
Yeah. That's the students that are engaged and invested and, you know, kind of already have a sense that this is important and they want to do it. But, you know, more likely students are just tuned out. I mean, like people, like Americans in general, just much more likely in a high-choice media environment to just tune out of this mm-hmm. conversation entirely, which is, to me, among the biggest problems that we need to fix.
Let's bring it back to what happened last week when we had these 300 news outlets join forces, put editorials in their newspapers across the country, basically denouncing what the president said. A, you think that was a good idea?
The debate over that is fascinating, right?
Right.
And the fact that Scott from the
Scott Idaho McIntosh,
Press,
Idaho
he wrote
Press.
A nice editorial after the fact explaining that they had people threatening to, you know, cancel if they wrote an anti-Trump editorial. And then after the fact, people said, why didn't you participate
I'm going to cancel because you didn't do
yeah,
this,
exactly.
right?
Yeah, exactly. So he said that was a good indicator of what a ridiculous position we were all in the first place. So, but yeah, it's a good question. You know, does it play into the narrative and into Trump's hands? Is this exactly what he wants?
It's a deep state. They're all against me.
Exactly.
See? Look, yeah. And they're all, you know, it's not coordinated, but they all have the same editorial on the same day.
But on the other hand, Trump,
he loves this.
If you're being attacked, it makes sense to fight back. And so, you know, I'm sympathetic to both points of view there. I think ultimately I would fall on the side of fighting back. I think it makes sense to push back.
My contention would be, though, but that's what Trump wants.
Yeah.
He suckered you into it, you know, so... I mean,
and that's what Scott McIntosh basically said.
Yes.
That's exactly at the Idaho Press what Scott said. And then he also went on to say, but then it makes the press seem very monolithic.
Yes. And it also makes it seem thin-skinned and everything where just do your job.
And, you know, this is what's interesting, too, is that with Senator McCain passing away late last week, a lot of journalists have been posting pictures on social media talking about times that they've interviewed him. And this is from local reporters in Arizona all the way to national reporters. And they all said, I mean, I saw this across the board, was that there were differences and there would be squabbles with Senator McCain. But he would always say to a journalist, but I know you have a job to do.
And he had his bus that for his campaign was called the Straight Talk Express, and he'd sit in the back, and the media would come and just talk to him all the time, and he kind of loved that stuff. Some people, I think he was a little more thick-skinned, though he would get upset with things. One thing about McCain is what I see very different from Trump, what people are talking about, is when he would do something, eventually would see the error of his ways, he would apologize for it. You know, Trump's not going to do that.
No tweet.
And that's a trouble with the journalists have with him, you know?
Yeah. The interesting thing about McCain is I think the choice of Sarah Palin as a running mate, which I don't think he was really on board with. I think that was kind of forced on him by his campaign. I think there's a direct line from her to Trump and the way that she
We haven't
targeted,
heard from her
targeted,
lately.
But
she tweeted something after he passed away.
The whole lamestream media thing, that rhetoric, that device goes back to at least her, and that they realized what a good talking point that is and how it does ignite the base, and Trump has just multiplied that.
So it's interesting. It just seems like there's no winning or losing in this. At the end of the day, you know, whether newspapers participated in this, whether they did not, I mean, Scott McIntosh put it best, right? You get people to say, I'm gonna stop subscribing to your paper if you do X. I'm gonna stop subscribing to your paper if you don't. So you can't win as the media necessarily in this. Is that a fair statement?
Scott likes to talk about the middle, the kind of reasonable middle that he can deal with. And he says he mentioned it in that editorial, he tries to orient their work towards, you know, the people who aren't calling saying, I'm going to cancel for whatever reason. And I think he has a lot of faith in that middle that we don't hear from as much. Mm-hmm. The effect of all of this, you know, discourse is often that it hollows out that middle. It either encourages them to just tune out, or it does polarize them and drive them to pick a side. So that's a negative effect of all of this. But hopefully, you know, there is enough of a middle, and we do share enough common media-mediated content and reality that we will find a common ground that will move us forward.
And maybe just talking about it will help.
Yeah. I'll always do that.
I know you will.
On the other hand, just having this conversation, there's some evidence emerging that suggests even talking about these issues and fake news and, you know, that whole narrative gives credence to it and actually makes people you know, more likely to understand. Same thing with misinformation. The more the press reports on false information, the more it just plants that seed and it gets people to at least, you know, puts it in their head. And then if they hear about it again, they're like, oh, yeah, I remember hearing that. That might be true. And so there's a real kind of backfire effect to some of this stuff.
Oh, I want to thank both of you for coming in today. Seth Ashley is an associate professor of communication at Boise State University. Jasper Lacalze, professor of political economy at the College of Idaho. Always good to talk with you.